In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
The smallest part of that app is the time counter, so I have no idea how long I'm speaking. In the course of our journey towards celebrating the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Church today celebrates a memory of the birth of one of the most important saints of the Church. Immediately in honor after the Holy Virgin Saint Mary and the choirs of the angels. That is, of course, Saint John the Baptist. So important was John the Baptist in the piety and the devotion of the Orthodox Church, of our Church, that he comes immediately after the Holy Virgin Mary and the angels in all of our hymns and all of our services of the Church, whether we are speaking of our doxologies or of any of our chants that gather in them names of various saints, or whether we are speaking of the commemoration of the saints that we will pray together during the liturgy very soon. In those other churches that are that follow the Byzantine tradition, the so-called Eastern Orthodox, Tuesday of every week is dedicated to the memory of Saint John the Baptist. And so there's lots of hymnography and prayers that are dedicated to his memory on every Tuesday of every week. He was so important in our devotion and our spirituality that we follow his life together with the journey of Kiyak and the Nativity fast. So the first week of the month of Kiyak, which was 3 weeks ago, foretold the annunciation of his birth, when the angel came to Zacharias the priest and announced his birth. Today we celebrate his birth when the people were gathered around Elizabeth, when the full time came for her to be delivered, as the scripture says, and they were all amazed and kind of expecting who this child will be and how his life will unfold. One of the main things that took place in the beginning of this narrative is the discussion or the controversy around what his name will be. And so in accordance to the usual custom, they wanted to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother said, no, he shall be called John, to which everybody was surprised because no one in the entire tribe was called John previously. It was an unusual name for their family. And as you all heard, and as we prayed a few minutes ago, the controversy was settled when a tablet was given to his father, who, of course, as you know, since the annunciation of John's birth, his ability to speak was taken away because he did not believe that he would give birth to a son with his aged wife, Elizabeth. So they gave him a tablet, and his name, he wrote his name John, and then immediately his tongue was loosed and he was able to speak, and he spoke the prayer that we will meditate on shortly. It's clear from all of this that God had a plan for Saint John from even before his birth, or even before his conception, because the angel announced his birth and announced his coming to Zacharias on the first week of Kiyak. And that was a very special event. Even in the book of Psalms, it says that he anointed, or he appointed rather, a lamp for his anointed one. The lamp being John the Baptist, and the anointed one being Christ himself. And so God had a plan for him, had a very specific plan for what the mission and the purpose of St. John's life would be. God also has a plan for all of us, collectively, as a community, as our church here and all of the churches everywhere, but also individually for each one of us. Does that rob us of our free will? Of course not. It doesn't. But on the other hand, on the contrary, it forces us, or it places upon us, the duty and the obligation to inquire and to figure out what God's will for each of one of us is, what his plan for each one of us is. And so we all prayed for many years to be given the grace of having this church, and now we do have this church, and our prayers for many years were for God's will to be done. We heard Abuna every liturgy pray for God's will and pray for Him to either give us various opportunities or to take away from us various opportunities if it's not according to God's plan and God's desire. And likewise, in our own personal lives, we are to pray in the same exact way. Whenever you think you are sure what God's will would be, whenever you think you know where the right direction would be in your life, or in our children's lives, or in your family's life, resist that temptation. Pray for God to reveal His particular will to you, which may or may not be the most logical according to human logic, but would be logical if you knew all the facts, and would be logical and the most beneficial for us from God's perspective, knowing all the things that have happened and will also happen in the future. One of the distinct things about St. John the Baptist's manner of life and what makes him so distinct in our tradition is his strenuousness and his asceticism. He is always painted in our icons, whether Coptic or other types of Orthodox icons, as an angel. And you see this in the icon behind me, that he has wings as an angel. It says in Scripture that his food was locusts and wild honey, and that he wore a shirt made of camel's hair. Very strict, very strenuous and ascetic in his life. And he lived in the desert, not just as an adult, as many ascetics in the future of the church after him did, going to the deserts and becoming monks. But it says here in the Scripture, in the passage we prayed, at the very end, it says, "The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." And so he grew up in the deserts. The last couple of days I was reflecting on the stay that I stayed at the monastery of Deir Suryan a few weeks ago. I had the blessing of remaining there for 10 days and participating in the life, liturgical life, and the spirituality of the monastery there. And I was trying to reflect on what it is that I took away from all of this, besides the research work and the CV entries and all the fancy things that I get to put on my resume in following this event. I wanted to kind of think about what was spiritually beneficial here and what it is that I learned that was new, that I didn't know about monastery life before. And I think what makes life there distinct and unique in some ways is that the monks, and I think also St. John the Baptist as kind of an ancestor of ascetic and monastic life, had a well-integrated, cohesive life where there was no division, there was no dichotomy between that which was sacred and that which was profane. Liturgy was kind of the rhythm of life, not simply something that was done to step away from daily life, but was part and parcel of the life of the monks overall every day. That's not to say that they profaned the liturgy by their natural daily schedule, if you will, or daily life and habits, but they brought out the holiness out of that stemmed out of the liturgy, out of the Eucharist that they participated in every single day, into every other aspect of their community and every other aspect of their life. And so I liked the fact that there was a certain simplicity to the manner of life of those ascetics that kind of blurred the lines a little bit between separating that which is holy into the church and keeping that inside and somehow living a sort of normal or profane life. It wasn't like that at all. It was holy in every way and flowed out of the holiness of their liturgical life. And so when I think of St. John the Baptist as an ascetic, and he is in many ways a precursor of the ascetic life that developed later into monasticism. There are monasteries that are named after St. John the Baptist, historical monasteries that were in Constantinople and Mount Athos and other places that are monasteries of the Prodromos, the forerunner. It's not so much that he was eating locusts and wild honey, or he was fasting, or if he was wearing rough clothes. It's that well-integrated aspect of his life where his unique mission and his single-mindedness, that's really what a monk is. The name monk or monachos in Greek means somebody with a unique single purpose. And that single purpose was evident and apparent throughout the mission and throughout the life of St. John the Baptist, because from the very beginning he was called to be this forerunner, to be this announcer, to be the spokesperson, if you will, to the coming or the advent of Christ. And he pursued that in complete alignment to God's will, pursued this desire, pursued this plan to its fullest, and lived in the desert in order to purify his mind and to be dedicated to this single purpose. And so he was worthy to be called not just a prophet and not just a saint, but the friend of the bridegroom, as it says in one of our hymns, higher than all the prophets and all the patriarchs, as it says in other hymns. And most importantly, I think, a word that is poorly translated in our hymns, the relative or the cousin of Emmanuel. Not just in reference to the fact that they were related in the flesh, but Saint Genis has this deeply profound connotation of being of the same line, of the same spiritual line, the same generation, and the same procession, fulfilling the will of Christ and literally running before him, the prodromos, to proclaim his will and to announce his coming. So he was the voice, as it says in the Gospel of St. Mark, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the path of the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And one of the commentators on this passage made a very interesting and a very edifying comparison between St. John the Baptist on the one hand and the Archangel Gabriel on the other. Archangel Gabriel came and announced the birth, the upcoming birth of St. John the Baptist, and as a result of his exchange with Zacharias the priest, he, in one way, took away the voice of Zacharias the priest, right? On the other hand, St. John the Baptist, because he is the voice of God, returned the voice to Zacharias the priest. And upon his birth, Zechariah immediately cried out and praised God with the praise that is the majority of this gospel passage. We too can be the voice of God in our lives, not through empty words, not through preaching and pretending to be something that we're not, but first of all through our actions, first of all through our lives and our mode of living and our steadfast dedication to the gospel, steadfast dedication to God's will and doing what is pleasing to him in our lives. And so when Zechariah the priest opened his mouth at the birth of St. John the Baptist, he cried out and said, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He wasn't speaking about St. John the Baptist and his birth that just happened right now. He was kind of prophetically in the past tense speaking about the future birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was foretold by the birth of St. John the Baptist. And so you notice here that this entire praise that takes, you know, approximately 15 to 20 lines here in the book is all about the birth of Christ and not about the birth of St. John the Baptist. Very important was this praise, what they call in Latin the Benedictus, that it's actually an integral part of the liturgical life of many communities in East and West. In the Roman Catholic Church, it's actually sung in every service that's called Lauds, basically approximate to our Matins service. So every morning, if it's being observed fully, the Benedictus would be sung. In the Byzantine tradition, it's also part of the so-called nine odes that come at the end of every book of Psalms, or basically their Agbeya, their version of the Agbeya. And all those praises, this one, the prayer of Simeon, the priest, the Magnificat of St. Mary, of Elizabeth, and all those kind of form the nucleus of the so-called canon, a very famous kind of hymn One of them is very famous, the Canon of St. Andrew of Crete, or other canons that are prayed throughout the year. In our own tradition, to bring it back home, it's also prayed in one of the most important nights of our life in the church, which is Bright Saturday. There's the entire section of the night called the reading of the praises, and those praises are nothing particularly related to the sufferings or the entombment of Christ, but they're basically the traditional praises that are found in the scriptures, one of which is this very praise, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel," or what they called in Latin, the Benedictus. And so it became such an important prayer in the history of our church and in the tradition of our church because of its prophetic tone, kind of announcing before it happens the birth of Christ, celebrating it because of the birth of St. John the Baptist. But what is most important for us today to keep in mind is that notice how St. John the Baptist and his humility, he does not feature clearly in this prayer that you would expect to be specifically dedicated to him. It's his birth, it's his day. The entire, you know, celebration today is the birth of John the Baptist. Yet the prayer of his father is not about him, John the Baptist, individually, but about that which John the Baptist is about. That is, being the forerunner of Christ and announcing him before his birth. May God grant us to also not shine in our own personal ego, but to hide behind the light of Christ himself. And not present ourselves in our own egos and our own desire to appear and to be prominent, but to let Christ shine through our lives and our actions. And so it says that after Zechariah the priest prayed this praise, the child grew and became strong in spirit. One of the great teachers of the church, that is Origen of Alexandria, makes the distinction between growing, that is growing physically, as a child does, and becoming strong in spirit, something that is entirely different and of a different caliber altogether. So we must strive in our lives as adults, but also when we are raising our children, not to focus on one at the neglect of the other. Our children will grow physically. And we live in a country where there's plenty of food and plenty of opportunity for intellectual growth and for physical growth and for all kinds of development. But if we neglect the strength in spirit, something that we actually really have to focus on living in this country and in many other countries, then our children will not be like St. John the Baptist, who grew and also became strong in spirit. But God forbid they will become, you know, they will develop physically, but perhaps not so much spiritually. May God grant us to celebrate with him his nativity and to take St. John the Baptist as an example, as being the voice of God, as a person with a plan, a saint with a plan, and for us to pursue his plan in our lives as well, so that we may grow in him in spirit. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
I want to remind you, you'll be getting an email about the service for the Holy Nativity. Friday and Saturday are strict fasting. Vegan only. Even your kids. Vegan only. And we want to make sure that they also have the experience of not eating as soon as they wake. It's important that you, as you heard Rama say, you want your children to grow spiritually.